for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, May the 25th, 1990. Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, over the Memorial Weekend holidays. Gene and Earlene Moody are the teachers of the afternoon.
Praise God, Imon. A term that I either coined for myself and Earlene, or the Lord coined for us, and I think of Earlene and I as God's little troublemakers. We make trouble for a lot of people. We've caused consternation in many Christian circles and in many Christians. We have seen many people helped. I thought this morning, I've taken the Dale Carnegie course, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And then the Lord moved us into the deliverance ministry, which is controversial and unpopular. And so now, you know, generally, I don't win friends and influence people. I stir people up. I'll probably stir most of you up here today. If I thought about taking a poll, have you bow your heads and ask you some specific questions, I decided, well, that might not be appropriate for what I'm going to do here. But I dare say I'll touch the lives of most of you here today in one way or the other, men and women. Basically, God has us deal with areas of sin in people's lives. And most preachers, they want to get up and give you the good news of all the wonderful things that are going to happen to you. We give you the other side. What's going to happen to you if you don't follow the Bible? Now, what I'm teaching about, I don't fully understand and haven't fully researched it, and doubt that I ever will, doubt that anybody else ever will. I would dare say that anyone who gets up behind the pulpit and who says that they fully understand the Word of God, you better check them out. I wouldn't tell you that. I would never tell you that I fully understand any area completely. I tell you that I'm learning. You're probably wondering, well, what's Gene going to talk about? Okay, I'm going to talk about baldness, beards, and hair today. Got sort of quiet in here, didn't it? Okay, let's go through the Bible. I like to take a walk through the Bible and see what the Word of God has to say. And so I've gone through the Bible and looked at the Scriptures on baldness, beards, hair, and a hoary head. So let's go through and start with baldness, Leviticus 21:5. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 5. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. Here is talking about the priests shall not make baldness on their heads. Deuteronomy 14:1. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. God's children are not to disfigure themselves in mourning. That one really hit me. I used to have hair that grew straight across between my eyes. And sometime back years ago, I decided to have that removed. So I went to these kind of people that typically treat women, take hair off their face, and so I got that removed. And it's no longer that. And I was wondering about that when I read that. I said, well, I did that. Okay, let's look at 2 Kings 2, 23 and 24. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 40 and two children of them. So the bears destroyed the children that mocked Elisha. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. The glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils, and it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle a rent, and instead of well-set hair baldness, and instead of a stomacher a girdling of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. It's talking about the judgments which shall be for the pride of the women. Now let's look at chapter 15, verse 2. Chapter 15, verse 2. He has gone up to Bajeth, not sure how to pronounce that, and to Dibon, the high places to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. Talking about the lamentable state of Moab. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 6. Both the great and small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Do not make yourself bald for the dead that are punished. Chapter 47, verse 5. Baldness is come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with a remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? Okay, here it's talking about the destruction of the Philistines. Now let's look at chapter 48, verse 37. Chapter 48, verse 37. For every head shall be bald and every beard clipped. Upon all the hands shall be cuttings and upon the loins sackcloth. The Moabites shall be bald with their beards clipped. Now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 18. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon all their heads. The mournful repentance of them that escape. Chapter 27, verse 31. And they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee. Amos chapter 8, verse 10. Amos chapter 8, verse 10. And I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth upon all the loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Okay, God says he will bring baldness upon every head. Micah 1:16. Micah chapter 1, verse 16. Make thee bald, and poll thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity for thee. Micah exhorteth to mourning. Now let's look at beards. Let's go back to Leviticus 19, 27. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 27. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. A repetition of sundry laws. All right, let's go to 2 Samuel 19, 24. 2 Samuel 19, 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes. From the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Mephibosheth had not trimmed his beard for mourning. Ezra 9:3. Ezra chapter 9, verse 3. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. Ezra mourneth for the affinity of the people with strangers. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 20. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely, by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. Here Ahaz is judged by God. Now let's look at verses about hair. Let's go back to Leviticus. Chapter 14, Leviticus chapter 14, verse 8. I find it interesting that all these scriptures start in Leviticus. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. The rites and sacrifices and cleansing of the leper. Numbers chapter 6, verse 5. Numbers chapter 6, verse 5. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. This is the law of the Nazarites. 1 Kings 1:52. 1 Kings 1:52. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. Well, God is saying there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. Pay attention to who is speaking in these verses and what God is saying, whether he's punishing people or whether he's protecting people. Job 4:15. Job 4:15. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. Job's hair stood up at the nearness of God. Isaiah 56. Isaiah 50:6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. They plucked out the beard of Jesus. Jeremiah 7:29. Jeremiah 7:29. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Jeremiah exhorteth to mourn for their abominations in Tophet. Ezekiel 16:7. Ezekiel 16:7. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. God's extraordinary love towards Jerusalem. Matthew 5:36. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. God's talking about what it is to swear. Luke 21:18. Luke 21:18. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. God can protect every hair. Acts 27:34. Acts 27:34. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. All of them came safe to land, and I'm sure they had all their hair. 1 Corinthians 11:14. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? So God is saying long hair is a shame to a man. Now let's look at verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So the woman's hair is her glory and is for a covering. 1 Timothy 2:9. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Talking about how women should be attired. Now let's look at the hoary head, Leviticus 19:32. Back to Leviticus again. Leviticus 19:32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. We should honor the elderly and honor God. Proverbs 16:31. Proverbs 16:31. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. So we should honor the hoary head if it be found in the way of righteousness. In other words, if the old man lives a righteous life. Now, stand up and take a stretch. This is after lunch, and a lot of people get sleepy in this particular meeting because of lunch and because of other reasons. So just stand up and stretch. Don't anybody get sleepy on me here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now, that's a walk through the Bible talking about baldness, beards, hair, and a hoary head. We've got some more scriptures that Earlene is going to read. As we go through here. Okay, you can sit down. I'm not the dynamic preacher like our brothers here. I'm a teacher. I like to get a lot across to you, and it comes across sometimes somewhat boring. Freedom of choice. God gives us a free will to choose our course in life. As such, we must give others a free will to do as they please in things such as dress and hairstyles. It doesn't matter whether it is our personal preference. It is not our life. Even if it's contrary to the Bible, the person still has a right to choose between the world and the Word of God. They will reap the good or evil from their actions. All right, what about Jesus Christ? We read Isaiah 56. You don't need to turn there. Jesus Christ looked like other people of his day and probably had long hair and a beard. We don't have any pictures of him, but we have the customs of his day retained in history. They did have razors in those days, and it was probably easier to shave than to trim their long hair. Rejection. Seems like every time I get up here, I talk about rejection in some form or fashion. And it's really the root of a lot of people's problems. If a person cannot accept themselves as God made them, and as they grow older, their problems probably are rooted in rejection. Many times, the roots start with their parents. Most of women's rejection can be traced to how they have been treated by men in their lives, grandfathers, fathers, brothers, husbands, and sons. The fathers have the strongest influence on their daughters' lives, and that's stronger than the mother. Now let's look at bitterness. If a person has become rejected, they will tend to become bitter against those who rejected them. When a person becomes bitter, they will tend to become rebellious against those who rejected them or against society. Rebellion. A common sign nowadays is a boy or a man with long hair like a woman. Sometimes this is a sign of vainglory. Most times it is a sign of rebellion. Many times you can recognize why the person has long hair. If the person is in rebellion, check to see if they were rejected, became bitter, and then entered into rebellion. That's your pattern: rejection, bitterness, and rebellion. Inherited curses. Baldness can be a curse that has been handed down through the generations. Some people say that baldness comes through the mother. That I'm not sure about. I'm not really sure whether it comes through the mother or the father. If you see a family that has generations of men with premature baldness at an early age, that family probably is cursed by the sins of their ancestors. Check for familiar spirits if there is no disease and treatment, such as cancer with radiation treatment, which causes a loss of hair. Diseases. Some diseases can cause loss of hair on the head. If a person has a disease in this category, take the person through deliverance and pray for their healing of the disease and then the baldness. God is known to do creative miracles and may completely restore the body and hair. Pride, ego, and vanity. Earlier said I ought to call this lesson vanity. Now, let's look at Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. That's one we need to look up. Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The topic I'm dealing with here, if I look down through that list, some of these things are an abomination to God. He hates them. We're dealing with proudness, lying, falseness, lies. The driving force behind many of the actions of men and women is self or pride, ego, and vanity for self. God hates pride because it causes so much trouble for the human race. It interferes with our relationship with God because we want to be gods or to have our own way. Now let's look at fears and insecurities. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's find that in your Bible. 2 Timothy 1:7. That's one of my favorites. Okay, King James says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Let's say that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Do it again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. God gave us spirits of power, love, and a sound mind. You like that? That's what he gave you. All fear comes from Satan. God didn't give you fear. Anybody here believes that fear comes from God? Let me read that again. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Everyday English. even in King James. Many people in the ministry and in public life are driven by fears of different types. Fears of ministers mainly deal with retaining their positions or ministries. Fears of the congregation mainly deal with retaining their jobs in their companies. Psychiatrists have cataloged at least 210 phobias, which are fears. Praise God. Insecurities are found in many areas, such as inferiority, self-pity, loneliness, timidity, shyness, inadequacy, ineptness, and so forth. When we are insecure, we are looking for something to make us feel all right in that area of weakness. How many of you ever heard of whipsaw demons? Okay. They are demons that cooperate with each other to whipsaw the person from one extreme to another extreme emotion. For instance, take pride and insecurity. The demon of insecurity will drive the person to do some act to be prideful. Then the demon of pride will cause the person to feel insecure. The whipsaw goes back and forth, and the person is never allowed to feel all right for long. You ever seen people like that? They go back and forth between the same thing. They're tormented. They're driven. Those are whipsaw demons. Beards and baldness. Here comes the beards, men. Many men have beards because they're going bald. They think this helps to make up for the lack of hair on top of the head. That's funny, isn't it, women? But it's sad. This probably indicates insecurity or vanity brought about by feelings of not fully accepting themselves or trying to impress others by being something that they aren't. If the Holy Spirit wanted all men to grow beards, there would probably be a general impression to that effect, at least in the Christian community. Trying to look young. How many of you are trying to look young? Another one of my objections is that men preachers have to look young and act young to maintain their positions of leadership. Women have to follow suit to maintain their husbands and their respect. There is much pressure in the world of advertising for looking and acting young. This is ridiculous before God and in the Christian community. Show me in the Bible where it says that God tells you that you have to look young and act young. I'd like to see it. It's not in me. Now, we read Leviticus 19:27 and Proverbs 16:31. I believe that the Bible honors the gray-haired man who has wisdom and understanding to impart to the members of his congregation and is living a righteous life. Therefore, I don't believe in the dying of hair to hide the gray strands to look young. Amen. Christian fantasy. Deliverance brings you into the ultimate reality of God's truth. God is total truth, and there is no fantasy in God. One of the problems we have in charismatic circles is Christian fantasy, which is really lies in the guise of Christianity. I would like to paraphrase Jack Harris. He's here today. Sheep in wolf's clothing wash their tracks. Okay, a good way to check out the Christian leaders who look so good and sound so good and smell so good is wash their tracks. That's right. Check their track record. Falseness. I object to anything that is false, such as play acting, put on, theatrics, affectation, pretension, sophistication, and so forth. When you try to change your body and be something that you aren't, then you're entered into some degree of falseness. One of the problems that women have is trying to be super spiritual so that they will be accepted and feel good about themselves. See, women typically are rejected. They don't feel they're quite up to being a man. This is very common. Women tend to have problems with accepting themselves as women because they think that men have a better life. This can lead to fleshly prophecy out of the mind, wanting to lead, mouthing spiritual sayings that are not biblical, and so forth, in order to be noticed and to be seen. Now, it's time for Earlene to come up and give some comments on that paragraph. See, Earlene is going to help give this a balance. If I say something about women, you're going to say, well, that so-and-so up there, he's talking about the women. Well, she gets to talk about them, too. It comes over a lot better.
Now, where were you? Show me where you were.
Okay, I just want you to talk about that one paragraph, right there.
Okay. Gene, I've had some experiences with women who have done a lot of prophesying in the church and to people. And we have a close friend who suddenly got into this thing where she had words for everybody. And so she told her husband that he would die before the year was out. And, of course, the man, this has been over a year ago, and the man is in good health. And when her words began to fail, she asked me, what should you do? And I said, well, come up here and we'll all stone you. That was the prescription for it in the Bible. You know, if his words fall, you stone him. You know, if we think about that carefully, we wouldn't be going around saying a lot of things we say. You know. And God doesn't like falseness. There's a couple of places in here that maybe I should go ahead and read it.
Okay, well, don't get ahead of the women. I'll get that in a minute.
Let me read this. Okay, why do the women not think we're as good as men? Why? Well, when you go back to Genesis, the woman ate the woman took and gave to him. And he ate it, and then the bad stuff happened. But the fellows all turned it around, and they said, because we ate it, everything bad happened. No, nothing happened until they ate it. And if you don't believe me, you look in the book. You'll find that's true. But we have been told that, and we have been... in many countries, if they have children they don't want and one's a girl, they just kill it. They smother it to death or they let it starve to death. It's not unusual. So when these things are happening all around you, and today, you know, women and men both want boy children, just like they always have. And there have been cases in Baton Rouge where they let the child starve because it was a girl. So we have come from a long line of being conditioned to be rejected, to feel inferior, to wish we were fellows. I had 5 brothers, and I did wish I was a boy. I mean, I did everything they did. I mean, I put in plumbing. I helped my dad with everything they did. And I thought, why do they get all the privileges? I'm working as much as they are. But, you know, in the end, and when I came through deliverance, I found that I liked being a girl. I don't like his responsibility. I don't like to have to lead. But the main reason women are the way they are is because of a long period of conditioning. So whenever you start to do something of any type that is a little out of the regular line of something, you ought to say, why am I doing this? Why am I painting these eyes out to here? You know, what do I want to gain? What am I afraid of?
Okay, stay right there.
See, I've got myself some bifocals, and I can see you now while I talk to you.
Okay, feminine preachers. Some men preachers sound, look, and smell like women. This turns me off. Praise God. In the Bible, the man and woman clearly have different roles and should look like different sexes. Men should be masculine and women should be feminine. The pressure of humanism and the New World movement is turning men into women and women into men. Now, on the women, we have read Isaiah 3:24, 1 Corinthians 11:15, and 1 Timothy 2:9. Now, I want Earlene to read Isaiah chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. Now, I'm going to paraphrase it. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 16 through 24.
Okay, you ready? This is amplified, and his is King James. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and with undisciplined, flirtatious and alluring eyes, tipping along with mincing and affected gait and making a tinkling noise with the anklets on their feet. Why were they doing that, huh? Women can tell you right now. Why were these women doing that? They wanted attention. They wanted to gain something. And they wanted to manipulate somebody. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the heads of the daughters of Zion, making them bald. You know, my daughter made an observation to me the other day. She's what you would call a young executive type lady. And she meets a lot of older ladies who are executives too. And she said, Mama, so many of them are going bald. And the Lord will cause them to be taken as captives and suffer the indignity of being stripped naked. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery of their tinkling anklets, the caps of network, and the crescent head ornaments.
Are you finished?
I thought you said read the whole thing.
Yeah, read through 24.
I'm not there yet.
Okay, you look at me.
The pennants, the bracelets, the chains, the spangled face veils, and the scarves. The headbands, the short stepping chains attached from one foot to the other to ensure a measured gait. the sashes, the perfume boxes, the amulets and charms suspended from the ears and the necks. Think about that, lady. The signet rings and nose rings, the festive robes and cloaks, the stoles, the shawls, the handbags, the hand mirrors, the fine linen undergarments, the turbans, the whole body enveloped in veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet odors of spices, there shall be the stench of rottenness, and instead of a girdle, a rope, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth and searing of captives by the scorching heat instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty men in battle, and Jerusalem's gates shall lament and mourn as those who wail for the dead, and she being ruined and desolate shall sit upon the ground.
Now, I'm going to give you the Moody paraphrase from the standpoint of the deliverance minister. The daughters of Zion are haughty. The Lord will smite with psoriasis. He will discover their secret parts with female diseases and burning. He will take away their bravery and give them fear. Instead of a sweet smell, there shall be the stink of cancer and rotting flesh. Their clothes will be sackcloth and torn. Their heads shall be bald. Now, read 1 Corinthians 11:3-15. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3-15.
But I want you to know and realize that Christ is the head of every man. The head of a woman is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Any man who prays or prophesies, that is, teaches, refutes, reproves, admonishes, and comforts with his head covered, dishonors his head, Christ. And any woman who prays, who publicly prays or prophesies, teaches, refutes, admonishes or comforts when she is bareheaded, dishonors her head, her husband, and it is the same as if her head were shaven. For if a woman will not wear a head covering, then she shall cut off her hair too. For it is disgrace for a woman to have her head shown or shaven. Let her cover her head. For a man ought not to wear anything on his head in church, for he is the image and reflected glory of God. That is, his function of government reflects the majesty of divine rule. But woman is the expression of man's glory, majesty, preeminence. For man was not created from woman, but woman from man. How far?
Through verse 15.
Neither was man created on account of woman or for the benefit of woman, but woman on account of and for the benefit of man. Therefore she shall be subject to his authority and shall have a covering on her head as a token or symbol of her submission to authority, that she may show reverence as do the angels and not displease them. Nevertheless, in the plan of the Lord, in his point of view, women are not apart from and independent of, nor is man aloof from or independent of woman. For as woman was made for man, even so man is also born of woman, and all, whether male or female, go forth from God as their author. Consider for yourself, Is it proper and decent, according to your custom, for a woman to offer prayer to God publicly with her head uncovered? Does not experience, common sense, reason, and the native sense of propriety itself teach you that for a man to wear long hair is a dishonor, humiliating and degrading to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her ornament and glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering.
All right, Erling, read 1 Timothy 2:9-15.
And I also desire that women should adorn themselves modestly and appropriately and sensible, in seeming apparel, not with elaborate hair arrangement or gold or pearls or expensive clothing, but by doing good deeds that in deeds in themselves, but by doing good deeds, that is, deeds in themselves good and for the good and advantage of those contracted by them, as benefits women who profess reverential fear and devotion to God. Let a woman learn in quietness and entire submissiveness. I allow no woman to teach or to have authority over men, and she is to remain in quietness and keep silent in religious assemblies. That's 12.
15.
For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman who was deceived and deluded and fell into transgression. Nevertheless, the sentence put upon the woman of pain in motherhood does not hinder their soul's salvation, and they shall be saved eternally if they continue in faith and love and holiness and in self-control, saved indeed through the Christ childbearing, that is, by the birth of the divine child.
These passages discuss how women should be dressed and in what manner they should conduct themselves. Now read 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6.
In like manner, ye married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent upon them, and adapt yourselves to them, so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over not by discussions, but by the godly lives of their wives. When they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourself, together with your reverence for your husband, that is, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, defer to, revere him. Revere means to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, adore him. And adore means to admire, praise, to be devoted to, and deeply love and enjoy your husband. That's a lot more than we saw in the King James. What's that verse say in King James, number 2? Anybody have it ready to read? I think it just says, by the modest way in which you conduct yourself. But, you know, when you read this whole, in the King James, I thought I had an A, you know. I was doing real great. But then when I read the Amplified, I realized I wasn't. And I needed to learn to do things in a different way. Let not yours be merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning and the beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. For it was thus that the pious women of old who hoped in God were accustomed to beautify themselves and were submissive to their husbands, adapting themselves to them as themselves secondary and dependent upon them. And it was thus that Sarah obeyed Abraham, following his guidance and acknowledging his headship over her by calling him Lord, Master, Leader, Authority. And you are now her true daughters if you do right, and let nothing terrify you, not giving way to hysterical fears or letting anxieties unnerve you.
Okay, hold your place then. Peter teaches the duty of wives to their husbands. The Bible clearly teaches that it is not the outward part of a woman that is important, but the inward part of her soul and spirit that God sees. The same could also be said for the man. Our daughter Marie worked as a waitress while she was in college to help pay for her education. She noticed that women in business had problems with losing their hair and baldness. Now, read verse 7.
In the same way, you married men should live considerately with your wives and with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relationship, honoring the woman as physically the weaker and realizing that you are joint heirs of the grace of God's unmerited favor of life in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. Otherwise, you cannot pray effectively.
God made women weaker physically and spiritually than men. The men are to be stronger and provide for the women. When a woman tries to usurp the role of her husband or tries to act like a man, she opens herself up to masculinity problems and demons. She may begin to have problems of baldness, which is common to man, but not to woman. She may begin to look, act, talk, and have the mannerisms of a man. She may grow excessive hair on the face while losing hair on top of the head. Some women preachers try to act like the men preachers to gain acceptance. They begin to take on the characteristics of men preachers. It is readily apparent when a woman is masculine. The woman is not sure where she really fits into the role of a preacher in the predominantly man's world. She tries to compensate and become one of the boys and get accepted into the men's club. Many times the profession of the woman stems from trying to please her father who wanted a boy, or having a husband that didn't properly provide for her, or having other men mistreat her. A woman ends up in a man's profession frequently because she has not been properly treated as a girl and then as a woman. Now, that's a section that I have on women. I want Earlene to take some time and make any comments that she wants to make about women.
Well, really, these comments could be about men who do the same thing, too. But women have to be very careful. You know, God doesn't look to see what you're saying. You can sit in this congregation, and you can clap your hands, and you can say all the right words. You can smile at the right places and frown at the right places. You can sit up, sit down, jump and run, do it all just right, as far as man can see. But God's not even looking at that. He's looking down inside of you to see what your motive is for what you're doing. And if your motive is not right, you've just wasted a lot of energies and burned up a lot of calories. And so women frequently put on makeup. Now, women, I want you, everyone, stand up and shout me down if I'm wrong. Women put on excessive makeup. Well, let me tell you where makeup came from. I am somewhat used to be more now then than now interested in art, and I have done some study in art. And so I can tell you where makeup comes from. It comes in that chapter in Genesis where they were having Nimrod building the cities to protect the people instead of God, and Semiramis and Tammuz and all that. All right, she began to wear makeup. All the Egyptian ladies wore a lot of makeup. They wore their eyelashes very heavily made up. They also browned their eyes or darked their eyes into little curlicues out to the side. And if you look at pictures, you can see that. But they were some of the first to do this. The Jewish women did not do that. And even today, you'll see many Jewish women who do not wear much makeup. My daughter is married to a Hebrew, and he doesn't like her to wear makeup. Yet he's a very upstanding and forward-moving American businessman. But he wants her to be natural. Women wear makeup because they want to get something, manipulate somebody, or because they are insecure and feel rejected. And if you do something to yourself, maybe you'll look better and people will like you better. I don't like makeup myself. I don't like wearing it. I rarely wear it. And the way I feel about me is what you see is what you get. And if you don't like it, that's fine with me because God says it's okay. And I didn't used to be so independent. Jean can tell you that in times past, I was afraid of what everybody thought. And I was manipulated into doing a lot of things I didn't really like to do, simply because I wanted somebody somewhere to like me, appreciate me, and look up to me. All right, if you want to, if you're a lady preacher and you dress yourself in manners, the purpose behind it being that you want to attract followers, you are in witchcraft. And this is true also of the men. It doesn't make any difference if you're a woman or man in that case. Okay, I have one other little note here I wanted to say a little bit more. Okay, I wanted you to look at the 2 Kings 9. See, I can talk about the women because I is one. And I know from my own self how we operate. All right, when we become children of God, us lady folk, we don't want to operate like that anymore. We want to operate the way He does. Is it a sin to wear makeup? No. What could the sin be? Your motive behind it. You know, that's where the problem comes in. 2 Kings 9, 30 through 35. Now, you know, Jezebel was a beautiful lady, evidently. Very beautiful. And she must have kept herself very beautiful. But her husband is now dead. She suffered through the fulfillment of God's curses against some of her children, and she's sort of destitute. She's all by herself. She's sitting up in the castle. This is paraphrased Erlene. She's sitting up in the castle, and here comes Jehu, this man who's been anointed now to be king and has been told to go and destroy her. She hears him coming, so she runs up, and what does she do? Jezebel heard of it. Jehu's coming to Jezreel, and Jezebel heard of it. She painted her eyes and beautified her head, and looked out the upper window. Now, what do you think she had in mind? She was going to conquer Jehu. That's what she had in mind. When he got in there, he says, "Throw her out the window, anybody that's on my side." And the eunuch threw her out the window. One time we were working with a young lady with Jezebel long before we knew much about anything. And when Jean called out Jezebel, and she had repented because she tried to manipulate everything and everybody, including me, and I was the teacher of one of her children. And so she had come to the house for deliverance, and we got into Jezebel. And all of a sudden, she puts her hands over her ears, she puts her head down between her legs, and she says, the horses, stop the horses, stop the horses, stop the horses. And we couldn't figure out what was going on. And we thought, you know, this is wild, stop the horses. And so I said, what's going on, what's going on? And she says, stop the horses, they're going to run over me. Stop the horses. So I thought, well, you know, best place to look is in here. And I found out in that section of Scripture that the horses ran over her. And they must have had carts or something behind it, and it gnashed her all to pieces, and the dogs came along and ate her up, except for, I think, the palms of her hands, something else, soles of her feet. And that was all that was left of her. So our motive behind what we do is very important. And actually, it will show up. You know, when someone says, well, I thought I'd wear this beard because it'd make me look younger, what have they just told you? I don't feel good about myself. I feel rejected. I feel I need to make this impression on people.
Thank you, Earlene. Ask yourself some questions. Why do you need to hide the wrinkles? Why do you need to look better? Apparently, you feel like you look better, younger, and feel approval about yourself. As you've probably noticed, Earlene and I have a tendency to examine everything. Was it the Holy Spirit or another spirit that talked to you that you needed a beard, that you needed to hide the wrinkles, and on and on and on? Check it out. You realize it's more than the Holy Spirit that talks to you. Demon spirits talk to you too. Everything that is spiritual is not of God. Personal preference. Well, you can look at me and see my preference. I have never been impressed by long hair or beards, even when I was young. I prefer short hair, which is easy to maintain. I don't like beards, which scratch and have to be cut periodically. Now, we're going to get into some deliverance, which is always the end result of our teaching. We teach and then we minister. Okay, what I'd like for you to do is stand up and take a stretch, and I'm going to take you through a prayer and cast out some demons. So just stretch and get those the mind working with your muscles. As you can see, Earlene and I, we're not exciting preachers.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, praise God. although I guess like our brother says, we probably excited you in some ways. And I probably might have even infuriated you and made you mad at us. That's okay. We like that. That doesn't bother us at all. But take it up with God. If what we told you infuriated you, take it up with God. Okay, let's go through a prayer. I've got a long prayer here. First of all, I want all of us to pray together. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
I forgive my ancestors and any others
for any sin they may have committed
that would have brought the curse of baldness
on me and my descendants.
I ask that you forgive
and bless them
with long life
and a full head of hair.
Forgive me where I have sinned
and cursed my head.
Forgive me for mocking those with baldness,
having a false personality,
living in fantasy,
trying to be something I am not,
being rejected,
bitter and rebellious.
God, please protect every hair from Satan. Now the women.
Forgive me for my pride,
super spirituality,
false prophecy,
usurping the role of my husband,
acting and looking masculine,
being haughty,
and doing anything
that would open me up
to baldness
and female problems. Please deliver me
from psoriasis,
female diseases,
burning,
fear,
cancer,
baldness,
rotting flesh,
excessive hair on the face,
and female prolapse.
I forgive my father,
husband,
sons,
and other men who have mistreated me.
Now the men.
Forgive me for my pride,
letting the wife be head of the home,
acting and looking feminine,
being false in my position as a man,
having long hair,
and vain glory.
Now everybody,
I break the curses of baldness,
pride,
falseness,
fantasy,
Jezebel,
Ahab,
female problems.
Heal me of any medical treatment
which causes loss of hair.
And all these things
I ask in the blessed name
of Jesus Christ,
my Lord,
my Master,
and my Savior.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command these demons to come out, that we've taken away your legal right. We bind up your power. We drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We remind you that you're going to be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You'll be cast in there with your master Satan. You'll be in total loneliness and total despair. There'll be worms on your head and maggots on your feet. You'll be in torment. The smoke will ascend for eternity. You will bow your knee to Jesus Christ. You will do what he's telling you to do. You will go where he's telling you to go. And I command you to start coming out as your name is called. I come against these demon families. I command every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit, ruler, demon, and lesser demon to come out as your name is called. Now come out, the family of rejection. I call you out, the rejection that causes people to have to have long hair. Men have long hair. Men have beards. Men and women dye their hair. Be very concerned about baldness. Have to go and have hair transplanted on their heads. Anything that causes them not to accept themselves. Have to dye their hair. Anything like that. Now come out of them right now. Coming out, I want all that rejection to come out. The rejection that keeps us from accepting ourselves as we are. Come out. All rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection, conception and lust, rejection by the mother, by the father, by brothers and sisters, by Christian brothers and sisters, by pastors and Christian leaders. Come out right now. I want that family rejection to go. Now come out, especially the rejection that has to do with hairs and beards and men and women. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Come out. All the rejection must go in Jesus' name. I want all of that rejection that keeps us from accepting ourselves like we are, as God made us, that keeps us a woman from accepting herself as a woman, or a man accepting himself as a man. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All the rejection, all the roots of rejection, ruler rejection, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Now loose the people and set them free. We bind your power. We drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. Now come out, all this pent-up rejection. Rejection all the way back to conception. That's right, where the mother and the father didn't want a girl or didn't want a boy. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Now come out. The demons that came in the womb, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All these spirits that came in the womb, we bind your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. The family of bitterness, we call you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. All bitterness, resentment, hatred, unforgiveness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All unforgiveness for ourselves. Come out. Any self-hatred, hatred and self-hatred, we bind your power and drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Hatred and self-hatred. Inability to accept oneself. Inability to love oneself. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against all anger, rebellion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Violence, temper, anger, retaliation. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Any self-immolation, I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All anger, retaliation, vengeance, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ.
We drive you out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Murder, suicide, death, abortion, fear. Come out. Fear. Fears of all types. The fears that drive people to be so concerned about their beards and their hair and so forth. The things that drive people to unwillingness to accept themselves. We break your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, those driving spirits. That's right. Come out, those driving spirits. Come out, all those fears, the fears of losing the ministry, the fears of losing our job, the fears of losing our manhood, the fears of losing our husband. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All these fears, we break your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, all these fears that drive us in the way that we dress, and dressing like a harlot, I call you out in Jesus' name. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And all sissified demons, the sissified demons in the men, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out, rebellion against God and rebellion against proper authority. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, the wives rebelling against the husbands and the husbands rebelling against their proper authority. We break your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out, rebellion, self-will, selfishness, self-idolatry, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All that selfishness and lovers of self, we're supposed to love ourselves as God loved us. But we're not supposed to be selfish and self-idolatry. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All these demonic feelings, demonic emotions, we command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, all rebellion, self-will, selfishness, self-idolatry, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Resentment, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, all the spirits of rebellion, we call out all the family rebellion and witchcraft, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Anti-submissiveness, unwillingness to submit to man or to God, we command you to go in Jesus' name. All these rebellious spirits, your power is broken and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out of the men and the women. I call out the spirit of baldness. We break those curses. We drive out those demons. Now come out, spirits of baldness. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Out of the women and out of the men. Now come out, those spirits of baldness. We bind your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of disfigurement, mocking. Come out, the family of pride, ego, and vanity. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Those demons that cause us to dress and act through pride, ego, and vanity. Come out, the spirit of vanity. I call out the ruler of vanity in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of jealousy and envy. We have to do this because we're jealous or envious of others. Come out, spirits of jealousy, spirits of envy. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Those green-eyed demons, we drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of shame and embarrassment. We have shame and embarrassment because we're getting older or because we're getting bald or something. We think we've got to do something to make up for this. Now come out, spirits of shame and embarrassment. Come out, premature baldness and premature senility. I drive those demons out in Jesus' name. Now come out, premature baldness, premature senility. Come out of the people in Jesus' name. Come out, all selfishness, fears and phobias. Come out, all phobias that drive us about our beard and hair and so forth. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all fears and insecurities, inferiority, self-pity, loneliness, timidity, shyness, inadequacy, ineptness. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, all these insecurity demons, all inferiority demons, all the self demons, self-pity and so forth. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Loneliness, timidity, shyness, inadequacy, ineptness. Come out, the demons that whipsaw us back and forth between pride and insecurity. Come out, the demons that whipsaw us between pride and insecurity. We drive those out in Jesus' name. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Any demons, any pairs of demons that whipsaw us from one extreme to another. Come out, spirits of false youngness, dying of the hair, falseness, play acting, put on, theatrics, affectation, pretension, sophistication. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All falseness, false gifts, false demonic gifts, we drive those out in Jesus' name. Come out, all this falseness about youngness and so forth. We've got to look young and act young. We drive those out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of super spirituality, religious demons. Come out, all the religious demons that drive us to put on a show or whatever. Come out, feminist spirits of femininity in men, masculinity in women. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of femininity and masculinity, demonic spirits. We drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, the spirit of haughtiness, female diseases. Come out right now. Call out the female diseases that came in through haughtiness. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all female diseases, female disorders that came in for any reason. Come out, spirits of female diseases and female disorders. Spirits of burning, female cancer. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Or cancer of the prostate gland. I call you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out, all female diseases, disorders, and cancer. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of burning. In the name of Jesus, burning, itching, psoriasis, eczema. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And scratching and so forth. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, diseases in the flesh. We call out spirits of infirmity, weakness, diseases of any and all types that are in the Bible or not in the Bible. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, the spirits of Jezebel. I drive out the demonic spirits of Jezebel, domination, manipulation, control, witchcraft. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of Ahab, destruction of the family priesthood, weak, effeminate men. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Any excessive, any demons that are in there that keep us from having hair, like on the top of our heads, or excessive hair on the women's chins and face and so forth, we drive those demons out. Any type of demon that is within us that keeps us from having normal, natural hair, either man or woman, we drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. We break your power and drive you out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I call out the phobias, the 210 phobias recognized by psychiatrists. I drive those spirits out in Jesus' name. Come out. Fears of all types. I come against fears of all types and phobias of all types. And I command you to go. I break your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. You have no choice. Now come out. Fears of all types. And I come against fears in the ministry where the people are afraid of losing their ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. And where they have to put on a show or put on the proper, have to do with dress or hair, whatever. Come, I drive those fears. I drive those fears out of the fivefold ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, come out. Anyone in the fivefold ministry or anyone who hears this tape, I drive those fears out in Jesus' name. Now, be gone. Now, loose us and set us free in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, praise the Lord. That wasn't so bad, was it?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand. Lift your hands and declare that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, make me a living sanctuary for you. Is that your prayer today? Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word this afternoon. We thank you that the truth sets us free. We thank you, Lord, that the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, what you've done among us, what you continue to do among us. Hallelujah. And Father, I pray our hearts would be prepared for the service this evening. Keep us in an attitude of worship and sensitive to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. A new way of living. Amen. I found a new life to live. I've got the fruit of the Spirit since I'm abiding. Oh, abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Of joy, health, peace. Yeah.
We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.